We're here in Jackson's Hotel for the annual convention of the GAA, which has just got underway about 5 minutes ago. And as I mentioned at the start when we were on, but you probably didn't hear us very well, the convention has been hosted this year by the Red Hughes Club, which is in the just down the road in Killigordon, of course, and a club with a proud history. And it's celebrating 100 years in existence here this particular year. And I'm delighted to see him joined by two stalwarts of the club, Bernard Devine, who is the current vice chairman. Very good night to you, Bernard.
Good night.
And also to Kieran Bradley, who is a former player, former official, former treasurer, probably held every position in the club. Good night to you as well, Kieran.
Good night, Tom.
Yeah. And obviously a huge year, centenary year for the club, formed in 1919. And I suppose the best way to start any story, Kieran, really is to start at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about the early history of the club.
Well, they joined officially Donegal GAA in 1919. But before that, they have been playing football on an informal basis under parish, or just challenge matches against.
Looking at Father Sean's history of Donegal, success came early for the club as well.
Actually, in the first year, they qualified for the county final, which had a story in itself. It was played three times before they got a winner, and it was first and still the only one ever played outside the county, as far as I know, in the Brandywell, in the area, the third game.
So there was another story about that. You won the first game, was it? It was against Bundoran, if my memory is.
Yeah, that's correct. Red Hughes won the first game, of course. There was an objection, replayed, and Ballyshannon won the won the second one. Of course, there's another objection. So third game was scheduled, and it eventually was played in the Brandywell and Derry, and Bundoran came out on top.
But obviously that didn't deter Red Hughes. They were back again next year.
Back in 1921, but the final was never played because of unrest at the time. Donegal Town Red Hughes were in the final, but it never was played that
year. Civil War was.
Yeah, that time that was a problem. So back again in 1928, final. Against Ardra, which they lost, unfortunately. 1929, the final again, and Ballyshannon beat them. And they had a few Democrat Cup appearances. And they won three, I think, over that period as well, from 1919 to 1934. And then that batch of players sort of, they were past their best, and a new batch came in then. In the 30s, and they hadn't any great success.
Tell me about the names associated, because I'm fascinated with some of the names that I've seen in those teams from those early years.
Well, in the first team, of course, Paddy Hannigan was known apparently throughout the county and beyond at the time. He'd have been one of the founder members, and Barney Devine would be Bernard's grandfather. He played in the team and he was a founder member. And the Baker's Corner, you may have heard of it. Two of the men, McNulty's, they were not players, but they were officials. And they had a big saying at the time. And Joseph Maxwell's father, the busman, grandfather, sorry, he was one of the main men too.
So, and some of the players as well.
Well, some of the players played for County. Paddy was a well-known county player, and then the Bradys were in that team too. They were county players, two of them. That was in the 20s.
They were linked to Bernard or to Justin Brady's people, were they, no?
Yeah. They were related to Justin and the Bradleys of the Cross Post Office.
They were your people?
No relation. Different Bradley.
Yeah.
We were the Killigordon Bradleys. In the early days, first 30, 40 years, it was all based in the Killigordon village because that's where the football was played, in the football park, and then the railway station. And it was a market village at that time and very busy and plenty of work about it. And most of the players from that area up until mid-30s then, started to veer across the river. They got adventurers, and there was more players from across mingled in. And as the years went on, there's very few Killigordon players now. They're all from across or up towards the border. So they just...
The bulk of the population lives out that area now.
Well, that's right. The country areas are built up now as well, and a lot of people. And then the pitches have ended up on that side as well. Maybe that is a bearing on it as well, but it's just...
Bernard Devine is here with us as well, as I said, the current vice chairman. And your granddad, his father, was mentioned there. He was on the first team and was part of the forming of the first team. Did he ever tell you much about it, or did you ever hear much from your father and your people about it?
Well, unfortunately, I never love to remember my grandfather, but that was Barney Devine. And as coincidence happened in later years, he was also the first goalkeeper on the team when it was formed, which followed on in later years. But of course, it was my father and my uncle Brian who were the biggest GAA followers in my house, and it was from them that I got the love of the GAA and the love of the local Red Hughes. So it was.
So obviously, it was the centre of the community. I'm sure it was like everything else, like the rest of the country. Certainly, Gaelic games, and I know hurling came in later, but football was predominantly the sport in the parish at the time.
Yeah, well, that was all the fireside talk. Always growing up as a small lad, like growing up, was about what happened in a certain day in a certain place at a game, and just the reminiscence, like, you know, and they were proud of what they'd done, and you know, they were proud Donegal GAA supporters as well as local supporters. And at the time, sometimes there was no club maybe and active in the area, but they were still very proud Donegal GAA supporters.
I mean, so to this day, you know, doesn't it as well? The club, like a lot of clubs, I suppose, suffered from immigration and things. Had checkered histories, disappeared for a while, came back in different names as well.
Yeah, well, different days they were called different things. There was Red Hughes formerly at the beginning, and then there was Killigordon GAA and so on. And at times there was no adult team, but I can remember back in the '60s or early '70s when there was no adult team at the cross. With Killigordon, they're still playing underage. I recall playing under 12 or under 14 and local pitches around the crossroads in Killigordon area, and still remember we're still wearing the red jerseys even back in them days.
Competing in competitions?
Competing at under 12, 14 and 16 levels. So they mightn't just have been the organisation at senior level, but the stuff.
Was that down to lack of organisation, or maybe like a lot of areas, you know, immigration, declining population, declining young men, they have of the thing?
Well, it's basically the declining population. You know, there wouldn't have been as many of the adult age to play football at the time. There would always be children like myself, maybe, to play underage, or men that had gone past playing age. That mainly part of the population was going abroad or somewhere, you know.
And who were the men that would have kept the game going at that time?
Well, the team we had, you know, there was a mix of Danny Cullen, national teacher, and Eugene Kwon, the national teacher. They were the instigators, all right, at the underage level that kept the thing going. It was through the schools that the club kept going. And the organisation, I remember going away in car loads of us, maybe 10, 11, 12 of us, stuck into the wagon in the front of a car to play an under 10 or under 12 game with Red Hughes. You know, and
like when you say going away, how far would you go? Like?
Well, I mean, I remember going as far as Kerrigan to play a game, you know, and that was only a challenge game.
Yeah.
It was basically, in them days, in the 60s, that was a day out for us to go to Kerrigan to play to Downings in a challenge match, you know. It was
the seaside as well, and have a few scones or cones on the way.
Well, that was it. It was the out for everybody. Like, you know, it was almost like we were playing in Europe. We were never there in our life before, you know. So it was funny. I remember playing in Kerrigan more than I remember playing at the Castle Fun or Lifford, or, you know. But we don't know. In Conby was always a 1-2. I remember we always left Kerrigan to go to Conby to play a match. And there were maybe 10, 11, 12 of us in the car. And there was a hall there in Killigordon, Stoney Batter. And I can still remember the car pulling like, up the hill with about a dozen of us in the back. On the road up to Conway, you watch up straight back there, up the hill, and you always wondered, were you going to get to the top of the hill or not? All day coming home, like, I can remember any problems coming home, but the worry wasn't really going.
Would the club have enjoyed much success at that stage?
Not really much success. Your big success to you was if you beat Conby or you beat against the fun team at Bumbleage. See, the thing was different in them days because there was no set up in Division 1, Division 2, Division 3, Division 4 under the age. You were all through in the one pot and the best came to the top. So no matter how maybe regular against maybe a local team or two, the next big step was St. Durance.
Yeah.
You know, and God, they hit the town, you know, from the Kenny,
yeah,
to play against the Village of the Cross and to the Garden. Like, so it wasn't, you know, in later days now it's far better, everybody's divided according to their ability. So but
it's greater now, you have a division, so in the division,
you know, the nearest club to us would have been McCool's. And, well, if you were lucky enough to beat McCool's at underage, who were always stronger and more population than us, well, then you were just through and next week against St. Unions, and we got tougher and tougher, you know. So there was never... And that was only the day we won an East Donegal title. You had to win, you know, it wasn't graded.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Rash, good evening, Tom. I'm Luke Trasky and the Shock on the Show with me, Tom Comack, here, especially tonight in Jackson's Hotel in Ballybuffet, where the Donegal annual convention is being held, and it's underway about a half an hour. We'll have more about that in our bulletins in the morning, but our focus tonight is on the Red Hughes Club, who are celebrating their 100th anniversary this year. I'm in the company of two stalwarts of the club, Bernard Devine and Kieran Bradley, and where time is running out on us. We had our technical difficulties earlier, but Kieran will move along to probably the 80s and the 90s was probably the most successful time for the club, hasn't it? But certainly on the playing field at senior level.
Yeah, it was very successful that time, even from the first year we entered competition again.
Yeah. But the club was reformed, wasn't it, in 81?
Yeah.
It had been out of business for a while, had it? Senior
for about 10 years, and like myself and Bernard played with Rob Demets and Hughie Gillespie and Josie and Billy Gallen and Seamus Gallen. A lot of those guys, we played our football, most of our adult football down there.
Yeah. And how did the reforming come about, or how come it was started again?
Well, Bernard knows
what brought about the rebirth, shall we say?
Well, there were three or four things that happened at the one time, and they all together, more or less, there was a perfect storm that caused the thing to be formed, not one or own. The whole thing we've got to remember was Donegal won the Ulster Championship in 1872, and they also won it in 1874.
Yeah.
And that, at the time, was as big as one of Ireland.
Yeah.
So there was a great spread for GA.
Resurgence.
Building in the late 70s anyway, so there was. Yeah. And there also then, as Kieran said, we were playing with Robert Emmets at the time, and there had been possibly 40-50% of the players on the Robert Emmets team from Killigarden or the Cross. So we were as strong then as we were able to be. Then on top of that, then to have it then was a local farmer wanted to get the thing going again. And he made a field has available for if the club was reformed.
Who was that?
It was Mike Bourke, who offered the field back in the late 70s. So he had a resurgence of the GAA. We were playing football and just fun, and also, as I say, we had the opportunity then with the field coming about, which was always a major problem, because we were back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. They might have played in different fields every other year.
Fields are valuable around the Cross.
Fields were valuable, always were valuable, like, you know, and especially...
Good ground,
and especially as well, like, in the middle of the summer when you wanted to play football was when the fields were most unavailable, like, you know. You could have been anywhere in the middle of the winter.
Well, so after been formed in 81, success came quick, didn't it?
Well, the talk was in the 80s, and we 1980 or so, to reform, and we officially reformed in 1981. and played her first game at the Cross in league badge against Kilkiara second team in 1981. And we were...
What division were you in then?
We were graded as a third division team, obviously, which was the lowest end of the thing, because we were only reforming, obviously, so we had to start at the bottom. So the first game was against Kilkiara, reserve team at the Cross, which we won. And we went on through that league campaign in Division 3, winning most of the games. But it was very successful. But we had, at that stage, a lot of players playing who had played senior Division 1 football with Rob Lemus. So Division 3 football was quite capable for them anyway. Mm. So they went through that year and won the league, Division 3 league, and then went ahead in the championship at some very tough games against the likes of St. Michael's and Clonmacnoise, and got to the final, the junior championship, which turned out again to be against the reserve team again, and they won that day as well, won pretty comprehensively that day. So it was a very successful first year. Mm-hmm. But not only that, there was the league and the championship, but at the time as well, you see, there was also a lot of local competitions going on. You had, you know, in the Killigordon area, Castlefin area, Clady, McCool's, local tournaments. So that kept the thing going as well. It was, you know, it was like a wave just from one game to the next game to the next game.
And then the next thing, what, two county finals at senior level in the mid-80s?
Yeah, well, 81, as I said, we won the junior championship. The following year, 1982, we were moved up to a grade intermediate. Got to the final intermediate championship in 1982. And we were beat by Oris and Balbuffet in the final. So basically that was almost the first defeat with the taste of any type in 2 years. It was our Oris final intermediate, 82. So 83, I think we played intermediate. In 84, we went senior. Went senior championship, and that then took us on to 86 when we got to the first senior county final.
Unfortunately, Bernard, we're going to have cut it short there. We're going to have to come back, and we're going to have to come out there and choose again, and we're going to have to talk to you maybe early in the new year. We had our technical difficulties at the beginning of the program, but I think we got them sorted there in time to get some program out to you anyway. My thanks to Kieran Bradley and to Bernard Devine, who joined us here in Jackson's Hotel tonight. My thanks also to Washington Kelly back in the studio for having the patience to stay with us. From me, Tom Cormack, Bajir Shockton, Shogun, Stornoggett Bannock.